It's The World in Words. I'm Patrick Cox.
I would love to meet with the Black Caucus. I think it's great, the Congressional Black Caucus. I think it's great.
This is, of course, Donald Trump. You may remember he was suggesting to a reporter, a Black reporter, that she contact the Congressional Black Caucus on his behalf. I would be about the millionth person to say, this is weird. That moment, though, it actually sent me down an audio rabbit hole, searching for Trump and the word black.
Well, this is Black History Month, so this is our little breakfast to provide a new deal for Black America. And if you look at Black and African America, you just take a look. Frederick Douglass is an example of somebody who's done an amazing job and is being recognized more and more, I notice. Harriet Tubman, Rosa Parks, and millions more Black Americans who made America what it is today.
I have a great relationship with the Blacks. I've always had a great relationship with the Blacks.
This isn't exactly the standard way that most people in public life use the word black. But use it, people do. A lot. This is America. Emma Jacobs has been thinking about this quite a bit. Perhaps more than most, because for the past year or so, she's been watching the United States from the outside. The campaigns, the election, the early days of the presidency. She's been watching it all from France. And as it turns out, she came across the word black quite a bit in France. So, like the French word for black, noir?
No, actually, the English word black, which shows up in conversation in French in France. To give you a sense of how it's used, I went to ask around at a small film festival called Le Black Movie Summer.
Black is a word that many French people do not now use commonly, you know. It's just like, it's so common.
Link Berthomieu is a dancer.
I think it's about culture. It's a lot about music. But most of the time, it's just a trendy way to say noir, in fact.
Black, ça fait référence au noir.
A trendy way to say noir, with associations with African-American music and culture, agrees Katia Turin, but also...
Un peu mieux perçu que le mot noir.
Black, she thinks, can be a bit better perceived than the word noir. She describes it as less in-your-face or less direct. I tend to think of this as sort of like putting the word in quotes when you use the English. Like, okay, it's a kind of faulty, artificial racial category, but, you know, black.
Oh, right. So it's like you're not really owning the word fully, the word black. You're recognizing that it's not a perfect description of what you're trying to say. Is that it?
Yeah, essentially, or just acknowledging it's something you might experience as being perceived as black, but sort of questioning it at the same time. I'll actually let Jean Beeman explain this a little more. She's a sociology professor at Purdue who studies France and specifically ethnicity and upward mobility among descendants of North African immigrants. And in the course of a lot of fieldwork, she's heard a lot of people who, she thinks, they're avoiding using a term that identifies a person's race in conversation.
To say that I'm African American, it would be considered impolite. You would just instead say she's an American woman.
This is not to say no one would ever say this, but she's onto a general trend.
Marking someone as anything besides, you know, gender or their nation-based identity is seen as sort of marking difference.
And pointing out differences between people in France, that is not polite. So it struck Beeman all the more when she started interviews for her research back in 2008 to hear people use the word black.
That's when I first started hearing it, and I remember directly asking my respondents, well, why use this term and not use noir? And in other words, why use the word, the English word black and not the French word for black? And it was just, and people just explained it very matter-of-factly of like, oh, well, it's considered very rude to use noir. It's, you know, but you, so black is much more acceptable.
Wait a minute. I feel like I got it and now I don't get it anymore. Like, how did this word get into the vocabulary in the first place?
Yeah. So actually, first, there's some history that helps explain why the French don't like using certain words that to Americans might seem fairly neutral. We're talking about racial classifications that were made by French society in the past, and these enabled really ugly things, particularly before and during World War II.
When the French social sciences, first and foremost ethnology, were based on the existence of races at a time when the colonial empire was thriving.
This is Pape Ndiaye, a historian at Sciences Po, a university in Paris. He's talking about during World War II, the Nazis and the Vichy collaborationists collected ethnic information and, of course, used it to deport people to concentration camps. And then there's a ton of racial ideology used to justify and organize the French colonies in sub-Saharan Africa, North Africa, and parts of Asia.
So after the end of the war, the decolonization period, the French believed that we all had entered a new period during which we live in a colorblind society, that skin color, or even worse, racial differences do not matter or do not exist.
So there are these idealistic good motives that become an early source of the skittishness around differentiating people, which shows up today in all sorts of different ways. The French government today does not have any line on its census for race, and that's by law. Basically, for a lot of people, it's the less said about race in France, the better. But at the same time, the French have always been fascinated by racial issues in the U.S., where not only do we have racial statistics, but this long, long history of confrontations around race relations. And when the word black first comes to France, it's among an intellectual crowd in the 60s and 70s. They're following American news like the Black Power movement, but it's niche. The word itself doesn't get much traction. Until, let's skip forward, the big development that really establishes black in the French vocabulary comes much later with the arrival of American rap and hip hop. This music gets especially popular early on in poor areas surrounding Paris that are called the banlieue.
By the 80s, the banlieue regions have like a lot of, you know, you'll have North African and African populations that in some places become the majority in certain projects.
Laurent Dubois is a historian at Duke. He says rap and hip hop catch on and inspire a lot of young French artists in these areas.
The major question for a lot of young people in France has to do with basically being kind of targeted by the police, feeling, you know, in a sense, like in occupied territory in their projects and increasingly in conflict with the police. And since that's such a common theme also in American hip hop, I think that in some ways the translation moment really becomes that American hip hop is a way of talking about the experience of being a kind of minority population targeted for being black. There's that kind of sense. There can be a similarity between like life in the projects in France and life in a, you know, in a black community in America.
Franco Lolia grew up in one of those big troubled housing projects outside Paris. We talked in a cafe in Paris where he told me that early on, the first really high-achieving black men he remembers encountering were both African-American.
Carl Lewis and ensuite Michael Jackson.
Carl Lewis, the 80s Olympic track athlete, and of course, Michael Jackson.
Ces deux personnes qui m'ont amené une vision positive.
They were the two black men who could give me a positive image of what black is supposed to represent.
The woman interpreting for Lolia is his friend Diafara Diallo. The word black, they go on to explain, took on that allure connected with black American success in sports and music. But simultaneously, Lolia said he and his friends identified more in their own personal lives with other aspects of American culture.
Le premier film qui a causé beaucoup de ravages ici, beaucoup, hein, c'est Warriors.
The first movie that really had an impact here on us was The Warriors.
Warriors was released by Paramount in 1979.
You still looking for us?
We found what we're looking for.
No. The Warriors are an actually multiracial gang from Coney Island. They wear leather vests and a lot of big hair because it is 1979. And the drama is that they have to make it home across the city and all these different turfs of rival gangs after they're framed for killing another gang leader. The film is not remembered for its great dialogue.
You warriors are good. Real good.
C'était vraiment nul, hein?
It was a very, very bad movie, now I think.
But at the time, the Warriors really resonated. Lolia and his friends, they also hung out in gangs of young guys from their own neighborhoods.
Multitude de choses que j'ai pas l'habitude de.
Okay, so I don't really want to say what the all the bad things that I did, but what I can say was like a confrontation with whatever was the source of authority.
But the reason Lolia brought up this period with me at all was because of the name his gang chose to go by back then.
Les Black Boys.
That was the name of his gang, the Black Boys.
Le groupe d'à côté, c'était les B-Boys.
And another group of black guys who were in another town nearby was called B-Boy. B-Boys.
Parce que c'était uniquement à travers ce genre de représentation-là qu'on pouvait obtenir.
But it was only through this English word, through this English word black, that we could find a minimum of pride.
Since then, Lolia has come to feel very differently about the use of the word black in France. We'll come back to that. But to continue our history of how this word went mainstream, back to Laurent Dubois of Duke, who I actually got in touch with because he wrote a book about soccer. It's called Soccer Empire, and it's about the wildly successful French national team that won the World Cup in 1998.
The first World Cup ever victory for France. They win at home. They win because of basically black and North African players scoring the goals. You know, Lilian Thuram in the semifinal and Zidane in the final. You know, so suddenly these figures become, you know, massive heroes in society. And the slogan that comes out is to describe the French team as Black Blanc Beur.
Black, blanc, beurre is a play on the stripes of the French flag, which are bleu, blanc, rouge, or blue, white, and red. But then beurre, which is a slang term for North African, replaces red or rouge. So you have black, blanc, beurre, which you can just make out a fan chanting to the TV cameras in the absolute chaos around the Arc de Triomphe after the 98 final.
I was never able to figure out, like, you know, who first coins it or, you know, find a journalist or something. It emerges, like, I don't know, from the culture, I guess, in a way.
But Dubois points out this is the same time as the rise of the anti-immigrant French right. The far-right leader back then, Jean-Marie Le Pen, questions whether the players know how to sing the national anthem, the Marseillaise. And so the slogan also becomes a way to express support for this exceptionally diverse team that is killing it for France on the soccer field. It also evokes this bigger idealistic vision of France itself as the coming together of these groups.
Black, blanc, beurre. Everyone heard that slogan in France, you know. The celebrations for 1998 World Cup. You know, everybody says this is like the biggest celebration since the liberation of Paris. So because of that, I think the term black gets really sort of stuck in the imaginary as black is just a way to describe, you know, people of African descent in the society in a way that's positive.
And so it becomes this word that all kinds of people use instead of noir. Not just people of color in the banlieue, but French people of all different stripes. But today, the hopefulness of that Black, Blanc, Beurre slogan, it's something people look at with nostalgia, but can also seem naive to a lot of people. Because in case you haven't noticed, France has not solved its racial tensions. The change in the 90s and 2000s was a subtle one, and everyone's not suddenly at ease talking about race or religion. This is partly because the hostile political environment that inspired that slogan has persisted and arguably hardened. French historian Pap Ndiaye says today can feel a lot like the 90s, before that unifying World Cup victory.
We also live in a specific political moment when the extreme right and the National Front are very strong.
The National Front, that's France's far-right party that's been gaining vote share since the mid-90s.
Issues related to identity being raised all the time, national identity, what makes us French, and so on and so forth, so that in a way, any word or distinction that may imply that French society is dividing along racial lines is often seen as suspect.
But at the same time, there are these problems that follow racial lines. Ndiaye tends to talk about these as shared experiences of heavy-handed policing, housing, and job discrimination.
In many ways, French blacks want to be visible and invisible. They want to be invisible because they don't want to be subjected to any form of discrimination. They want to be like anyone. They don't want to be singled out by the police, for example, in a train station.
But they also want to be visible. They want the issues dealt with that are to do with their being black.
So it is this kind of minority paradox, visibility and invisibility, which is at the heart of the use of the word noir, sometimes the word black.
Ndiaye isn't against the word black, but he thinks noir is just more accurate, more precisely about the French experience. He also points out its use in a positive way by historic cultural movements of French-speaking African and Caribbean intellectuals. Franco Lolia, who used to be part of the Black Boys, who is now in his mid-40s, has come to feel very strongly that he doesn't like the word black. He's now a social worker and also an anti-racism activist. He says black does conjure up American success, but it also implies that racial inequities are somehow not French.
Mais ce qu'il y a de pervers, c'est que ça,
the perverted effect of using black instead of noir is just to erase the racism in France and to pretend that racism is only an Anglophone thing, only an American thing.
So far from being academic, language, he thinks, really affects how people identify problems and how easy or difficult it is to mobilize and do something about them. And Jean Beeman, the sociologist, says another argument for finding the right language, whatever that is, to talk about what Americans would think of as racial or ethnic identities, is that more recently, France has come to overemphasize religion, Islam in particular.
Islam is just everything is coded as Islam. Every problematic threat, anything seen as a threat to French identity or French society is coded in the level of Islam. When I think people are really talking about race and ethnicity, but are, you know, of course, it's not polite or not acceptable to do so openly.
Unfortunately, she thinks that the conversation about religion has become such a big part of the news cycle and public debate. There's not a lot of energy left right now for tackling other issues. Beeman pointed out that recently, some young black activists in France have started to use the phrase Black Lives Matter. It was chanted at protests after the death of a young man in police custody. It piggybacked on the American conversation about police-involved violence that has gotten a lot of coverage in France. Maybe a help. But it also comes with American baggage. Comparing the French experience with an American situation that, at least in the area of police violence, the activists themselves believe is much, much worse. As an example, shortly after the death of the young man outside Paris, someone from his own neighborhood, he described police in the U.S. to me as shooting black men like chickens. He mimed shooting at the ground with his fingers. This is the complicated thing about taking the United States as an inspiration, linguistically or otherwise. It's simultaneously seen as this place where blacks can be very successful, but French people are also very, very aware of the problems black Americans deal with.
talking with racial ethnic minorities, there's very much a sense of a sort of pride in what they consider the sort of American civil rights movement and the trajectory that, you know, one could say, or I guess they would say, led from, you know, Martin Luther King to Barack Obama being our first African-American president. But what's interesting is that in that, they don't want a sort of American-style identity politics. So I think there's really a wrestling in French minority communities of how do we ever, you know, see our version of a French Barack Obama, for example, without the sort of the exact same identity politics that we have in the United States.
And the question running underneath all this, still to be determined, is what vocabulary should France adopt? Whether it's black or something else or both, what are the terms going to be that best describe French, not necessarily American realities, but also challenge the French status quo?
So, Emma, we've gone through some pretty big changes here in the United States. I wonder what the American election, how that changes any of this.
Well, the election results shocked a lot of people here, as elsewhere. But one thing to bring up, I think, is a theme that appeared in a couple of different think pieces and editorials in the French press. And that is that Trump's victory is, in some ways, the unfortunate result of the American emphasis and organization around ethnic and religious categories. The French, they call this communitarianism. The left-leaning outlets tended to talk about this as a rise of white communitarianism. And then the right, particularly the paper Le Figaro, tended to talk about this as a corrective reaction to minority communitarianism, which they saw as sort of this like unhealthy interest groups that have gotten out of control, are just looking out for themselves. And then coming a little bit from both sides was the suggestion that African Americans turning out in lower numbers for Clinton represented people less able to see themselves in her because she was from a different ethnic group and not seen as representing their community well.
Oh, right. Okay. So here in the United States, we don't use the word communitarianism, but a lot of those same arguments have been made.
Yeah. And perhaps it's just a difference in the way they're expressed. But I think also there was an extent to which they strengthen French misgivings about the American way of understanding its multicultural democracy and the ways in which the French try to define themselves against that model and what they see as the potential pitfalls.
Emma Jacobs is a reporter who's been based in Paris for the past year. We have photos of some of the people she talked with. They're at pri.org/language. Today's episode was edited by me and mixed by Tina Toby. Thanks also to Louis Cronin, Andrew Sussman, and Catherine Whelan/Whalen. And good luck to James Willits. Please consider writing a quick one-sentence review at iTunes or wherever you heard this episode. It helps get the word out. The World in Words is a production of PRI's The World. We'll be back soon, and thanks for listening.
I have a great relationship with the blacks. I've always had a great relationship with the blacks.